Have you been considering taking your horse or Western photography passion to the next level? Hi, it's Kara with Cowgirls with Cameras, and I want to tell you about our Cottonwood Ranch Photography Experience in August. This experience is a workshop, portfolio builder, business clinic, and gathering set in the majestic scenery of the Nevada Mountains. This event is learning intensive and full of shooting opportunities that feature ranch work, Western horses, cowboys, cowgirls, horses, and dogs. You'll walk away feeling more confident in your camera editing and business skills, shoot a few thousand images, and gain new friends in the process. Our events are always focused on collaboration over competition, and our three instructors, myself, Kim Beer, and Phyllis Burchette, are all deeply passionate about seeing you reach your photography goals. To learn more about this event and other photography adventures we have coming up, head over to cowgirlswithcameras.com.
It's time to laugh, learn, and take your photography to the next level with your favorite Cowgirls with Cameras, Kara, Kim, and Phyllis.
Welcome to the Cowgirls with Cameras podcast. I'm Kim with Kim Beer Photography and Be More Business.
I'm Kara with Fast Horse Photography.
And I'm Phyllis with Phyllis Burchette Photo. Good afternoon, you guys. Feels different to be meeting in the afternoon.
It does. It's just wrong.
I couldn't figure out what to say. I'm like, what? Okay, not good morning. Yes.
Oh, goodness.
It is a weird time of day for us to be recording. Super early in the morning. So I'm starting my caffeine normally, and now I'm finishing it. So.
Gosh. So what have you guys been up to lately?
Well, at the time of recording this, we are preparing for our Essentials workshop that's coming up the end of this week, beginning of next week.
And your book is out.
Yeah, we do need to say about the book. And you have a big feather in your cap from that book. What is it? What is your big feather?
Well, okay. Yes, the book. I'm excited about that as well. So, yes, the workshop, we've been prepping for that.
Kara.
The book.
Go back. Your book is like number one something or another, right? What's all the detail?
Yes.
Like share that.
Are you saying I'm like hiding?
Yes. Okay, you're deflecting, so, and I'm not going to let you do it.
My book that I co-wrote with Betsy Bird of Ride the Sky Equine Photography was released last week, and it is currently rating at top new release in Amazon, which is a really big deal. So we're so excited. This has been, it has been a year of crazy and learning. And Kim, thank you so much for all of your support through all of it and your guidance as someone who's published before on Amazon. And Phyllis, thank you for all of your feedback and for reading it and giving us a review. Like, it just means the world to us. So if anyone's interested, the book is officially out. I feel like we've been talking about it forever, and now I can officially say it's on Amazon. You can now go to Amazon and purchase our book, Equine and Equestrian Photography Poses That Sell. It's there. It's ready to roll. So yeah, thank you guys for making me talk about it.
So I'm so proud of you and Betsy, and your book is amazing. Everything you guys did is so amazing with it. And if you are out there and you're doing portrait photography, even if you're just doing portraits as a hobby of your kids or your friends with their horses, man, this book is sure a big help. And highly, highly 5 stars recommend that you head on over to Amazon and search it up and get it.
I concur with all that, Kim, because I think if you're, doesn't matter whether you're already an established portrait photographer or just getting started, this book will make your life way easier.
Yeah,
so much easier.
Way easier. Yeah. Way easier. All right. So other than that, we are getting ready for our essentials, and we are going to be invading Kara's space here very, very soon. Oh, I will be invading your space in less than 48 hours. Or right about 48 hours.
I know. I'm ready. I'm feeling pretty ready. The studio has turned into a classroom and it looks really cool. We've got, I think, 10 locations and 20 something models. I mean, we have a big lineup that we're going to be shooting and teaching our photographers this next week. So I'm ready. Come on. Come on to Florida, everybody. Get over here.
My plane is booked and I do still have to pack, but I won't do that until tomorrow night because I'm not the pack early type. So Phyllis, what have you been up to?
Oh, gosh. I don't know really, but I've been super busy. I did start getting some new stuff together for the workshop. So I've got some new, couple of new or tweaked, maybe just tweaked presentations. Let me put it that way. I'm still working on submissions for my publisher, which I almost have ready to send for the first draft to see if they, what they accept. I actually got real busy and threw some potential images in a file for possible Western Horseman calendar submissions. It's the first time
That's coming up.
Yeah, I know. It's the first time I've even thought about that. Oh, I was named 30 over 30 with Western Life and Style magazine.
And you're getting a big old belt buckle.
I'm getting a big old belt buckle. And I don't know, just been spending, well, not a lot of time more at the ranch, but of course it's spring, you know, horses are shedding and all that kind of fun stuff. So I guess that's about it. Just getting ready to head that way, Kara and Kim.
Well, congratulations on your 30 over 30 Western Life and Style. That was amazing. And I also saw that your gallery reopened, right?
Oh, yeah. They thankfully, there was a older bank, the old BB&T bank in town that's it's a really gorgeous building, absolutely gorgeous building. And it's been sitting empty for sale for a while. They're right on the square. And thanks, big shout out to Rob Fowler Properties for allowing us to rent from him. It's still for sale, so we could be kicked out at any time. But it is a home for a while anyway. But it's I worked for my first time. It's been open, 2 weeks this Wednesday, and it's really, really pretty. They've got paneling and just the way the girls fixed up the inside of the whole gallery. It's really gorgeous. So
nice.
We're back in business. Yep.
Glad to hear it. What about you, Kim? It seems like you've been out networking a lot.
I have been out networking and speaking. I did a 5-6 day marathon of speaking engagements and networking events this last week. I swear I don't feel like I was able to just do anything. I was out of my office for multiple days in a row, but I had so much fun. I gave a temperament workshop one day, helping people understand how to communicate better with their temperaments. And then I also got to speak to some folks on how to improve their website, which was a lot of fun. And then Friday, I got to spend my day with some growers, some farmers. And I think growers now has a whole different connotation. So these people are growing vegetables, not other growing things, but they're growing vegetables and starting farms. And they were a group of historically underserved farmers. So my room was full of women and minorities, and they were so much fun to work with because they're so excited about what they're doing. So I had a blast doing that. And then Saturday, I switched hats again and gave a hypnosis demonstration. So I was just all over. And you know me, that's the way I love to be, right? Like, I like diversity in my life. And it certainly was a diverse week. So I had a blast doing all of that.
That's awesome. Yeah, I know you were busy because I sent you a text message and I was like, I don't know what to say at this point. I've messaged you like 10 times and you haven't responded. So are you alive? Like, just... Did I do something?
You
tell me. I need to know.
I was mad at you. And I'm like, no.
That's right. Are you mad at me? I don't understand why you're not responding.
Well, I don't think there was a direct question. It was more of like a comment. And I was like barely able to keep up with people's questions.
I know. Not even a thumbs up, but that's okay. We're all good.
Well, according to TikTok, we're not supposed to use thumbs up anymore. Apparently, it irritates the Zennials and Millennials when you do a thumbs up as Gen X folks. So,
I can't
keep up with what's going on. So, I'm keeping up with the thumbs up. I don't care. Anyway.
Okay.
Before we dive into our topic today, I do want to talk a little bit about some things that are coming up for us this summer, just to keep people informed of what's going on. First of all, we have our dry head after our essentials workshop, which is this week, which we're super excited about. Then our next thing, well, Phyllis is going to Iceland, but the next Cowgirls with Cameras kind of official event is going to Dry Head. in July. And I have not asked her ahead of time, so this is totally unprepared. But Phyllis, do we still have, as of this recording, one spot left for that?
One spot. We had a cancellation. Yeah.
We had a cancellation that was kind of last minute. And so if you would like to come with us to Dryhead, we do have one available spot for that. You can reach out to Phyllis at phyllisbruchettephoto.net if you would like to take that spot. She will be happy to hook you up. And it's a wonderful event. You cannot find a more fun place. And if nothing sells it to you, think about this. The Pryor Mountains and 75 to 80 head of horses running in front of them and you with the camera. So you can't beat it. It's such a great place. And then after we get back from that, we have a little bit of break until the end of August. And then we're doing our Cottonwood event, which is one of our learning intensive events. It's one of those opportunities that you have to not only come shoot with us, but to actually spend some deep mentorship time with all three of us in a very active shooting setting where you're able to experiment with your creativity, with your camera settings, with getting any kind of knowledge gaps that you have closed up, as well as some of the most stunning mountain scenery that is available in this country. I mean, it's in Wells, Nevada. It's very different looking from a lot of the places we shoot. It's unique and so much fun and such a group of people that are willing to adventure. I mean, all of our hosts are fantastic, but this group is really out there willing to adventure into places that I think were referred to last year as if this is not a road, this is a way. This is a way to get where we're
going.
That was
so much fun.
And it's fun for us because we get to ride along on that. And then we get up there. And all of these folks that model for us are working cowboys and cowgirls. They know their stuff and are just amazing. So if you'd like to come with us to Cottonwood, we still have a couple of spots left for that. And you can register on our website. And there is an onboarding appointment with us ahead of you committing to this event because we just want to cover what it is that you would like to get from the event so that we can tailor it to you. It's just a stepping stone to get you into the exact right path that you need to take. And there's a mentorship ahead with one of us as well. Get on that as soon as possible. And we would love to have you come with us. Is there any announcements that you guys would like to add before we dive into our topic today?
I don't think so. Not for me.
Unless you want to mention that See Lazy U is a go for 2025.
Oh, yes. Well, that's a good announcement, Phyllis. We are going to be doing our winter horses in the snow photographers getaway again in the end of February, first part of March, and are thrilled about that. We get to come back to the late See Lazy U and work with them again. It was a great experience. Details on that, like it just got confirmed like within the last couple of days. So details for that are forthcoming on the website. By the time this episode is out, it'll be up on the site and you can go take a look at the details and get your deposit in because my wager is that spots in that are going to go fast. So super excited about that. And don't forget, we have our Trapper's Lake Fall Color Adventure in Colorado. We still have some spots for that as well.
There's lots of ways people can join us this year.
Yeah. So lots of fun coming up. Okay, so let's dive into our topic for today, which is actually comes from our audience suggestions. We've asked over time, you know, what would you guys like to know about? What would you like for us to talk about? And we're always open to hearing more about that, by the way. So feel free to email any of the three of us or leave comments on social media. Somebody will see it and we will be happy to do an episode about that. But today's topic really was a completely suggested by folks that listen to the podcast. And it's about handling photography inquiries. Like what happens, you know, you hang your shingle out and say, I'm an equine photographer and I would like to have clients. And then, oh my gosh, here they are. knocking at your door, ringing up your phone, blowing up your email and texting you. So kind of how do you handle that? And we've each broken this topic down into really three pretty distinct pieces of advice that sort of fit with our own specialties. And I'm going to kick us off by talking about selling in general and kind of getting your mindset squared away with that. For a lot of entrepreneurs, selling is a very scary topic, like being able to talk about what you do. There's the sticky situation of talking about the money, like what you're going to charge people. And money brings this whole other set of sensations and feelings and emotions up in us, particularly if we're charging more than we've ever paid for what we're doing. And I'll tell you, for a lot of photographers, they've never paid another photographer the amount that they're going to charge for what they're going to do. And that in and of itself can be this really sticky situation when you get on the phone with somebody and they ask you the question, how much? How much are you charging for this? How much will this cost me? So the first thing you need to do, in my opinion, is get really clear on what you offer. And Phyllis and Kara, I know Kara is going to talk a little bit more about that in her section of this. But the first thing you need to do is gain some clarity. You need to understand it from your perspective, and you need to be honest with yourself about where you're going to trip over your own feet in this process. And if you do it a couple of times and you feel some negativity or resistance, or you struggle through certain parts of the conversation, take note of it and see what you can do to work yourself through that. Ways that you can do it, work yourself through it, is to get a coach, to have a business coach of some kind, or have a sales coach, or work with somebody like me who is a gestaltist that helps you get in touch with where things in your past are going to rear up and show themselves in a situation where you're selling and where you're dealing with the public and answering questions and all of the things that go along with this process of handling a photography inquiry. Another couple pieces of advice that I have for you is to have a system. So systems help us when we are prone to maybe having a little bit of resistance or failure in mind. So a system is simply, this is the way that we do it here. And what you need to do to create a system is just think through, how does this happen, right? If somebody calls me and says, can I do a specific job? What are your parameters around that for your specific brand of photography? And I can tell you, for the three of us, it's different. Who calls us is different. I get called by companies that usually there's something attached to it about doing their marketing or making some type of a digital or print advertisement to go along with the images. Phyllis gets a whole different set of inquiries, and so does Kara with in-person sales. So know for your own business what kind of kicks that off, and think your way through all of the things that you have to do all of the way up to booking the appointment and taking the money. And make it very clear within yourself how each of those things happen, so you don't stumble around when people ask you. Also very important to know is the stages of how people show up as inquiries. So there's a lot of people who just want to looky-loo, for lack of a better term. They want to ask a couple of questions, but they're not really ready to commit. Then there are people who are very serious, and they maybe have narrowed it down to you and a couple of other options. And now they're really weighing those options and very interested in hiring you. And then there's the last group, which I absolutely adore. And that's the people who know they want to work with me, and they call and say, I'm ready. Right? And all three of those can be equally as challenging if you're not clear on how to move through those stages. So get familiar with how people show up for you, how people show up to ask you questions. To be honest, I don't get much of group one anymore because I've learned a lot in my business and answer a lot of those questions on my website. And my branding and marketing pretty well narrows it down to where I'm only getting the people in categories two and three, which are really either just in the final stages or really ready to move forward. When it comes also to making a system, The other thing that you can do is you can automate as much of this as possible. Now, automation does not mean to sound robotic or to make everything exactly the same. Modern automation lets you personalize a lot of the experience for your customers, but having an automation tool that is like a CRM where it can respond with emails right away, or having your direct messaging set up in your social channels where it has a DM response, a direct message response that basically handles little things. I think they call those chat bots are part of that. And correct me if I'm wrong, because Kira, you use this tool particularly because I've sent you messages and it's a really nice response that I get back. It's basically like, I got your message and I'll be back with you as quick as possible. You just set that right up inside of Facebook for yourself, didn't you?
Or in Instagram and Facebook, you can set up automated responses for inquiries. You can set up an autoresponder. And I have links to that link people directly to my website. So I turned it off a couple of days ago and I've been testing it off, but I can turn it on and off, on and on whenever I want to.
Absolutely.
So social media does give you that option.
So direct messaging. Yeah. Anytime you're in social media with direct messaging, it definitely gives you the options. And email CRM software allows you to set up quite a bit of automation. And there's so many options. I'm not going to get into specific recommendations, but if you've worked with a photographer or you're interested in mentorship with somebody, ask them what they use because they can get kind of industry specific. I know for me, my software is not particularly set up for photographers, but I also know that there's other systems that are set up for photographers. So automation is basically setting up the path that your customers are going to take in the inquiry process and allowing the computer system to handle as much of that as humanly possible, just in order to keep everything flowing really quickly. The truth of the matter is that humans have a very short attention span. And when they want something, they want it now. And if you happen to be off doing a workshop in Wyoming and shooting out there and they send an inquiry and you don't have some type of an automated response set up, they'll move on or think that you're not responding to them. And now I feel bad because I should set up an automated response for Kara when I'm so busy. I don't have time to respond to her messages.
You know, it would help. It would make me feel more valued and appreciated as your friend and colleague.
even though it's coming from a computer. So there you go. That's how that works. So that's a lot of random mental game advice. So Kara, what do you have as specific advice for folks that are working in the in-person sales? Like, what does this look like in your business and in your process?
So when I think about responding to inquiries, I think about equine and equestrian portrait clients. So it doesn't necessarily have to be the way that I work with my clients in terms of I sell high-end wall art. It's more about the consistency that I create for my overall client experience. And that starts with inquiries from anyone that's interested in equine and equestrian portraits, even if they're not necessarily determined to be a good fit for my photography business down the line. So I think the biggest thing that I learned early on that was really important to me was I needed the initial communication. So the initial inquiry all the way through my process where I'm requesting testimonials at the end, that is a consistent process that every single person that touches my business experiences and that they can all speak to how, I had that same experience. Like Kim says, you need to sit down and you've got to think about like, what does that look like for you? Like, what are the steps of how you want to run your business and how you want to interact with people? For me, when I think about initial inquiries, a lot of times that comes in, and I'm sure there's people at home that can relate to this. It comes in as, what are your packages and what does your pricing look like? And sometimes they add, and are you available? And what is your availability? So those are some of like that's kind of like the three sentences I get on every inquiry that comes in. My inquiries come in from all over the place. So they're coming in through social media messaging. I'm getting emails through my website. I've had text messages come in. And it doesn't matter where that initial touch point for the inquiry is. What matters for me is that the next step is consistent across the board. So typically, I would respond back to them in the way that they messaged me, and then I move my clients to a phone call. And that is our next step. And that's consistent across the board. Whether it comes in via DM or it comes in via email, that's our next step. I think the big thing that I want to make sure people understand is that the consistency piece is really big. And that's not just for client experience and for getting bookings. It's also so that you know that you are qualifying these individuals as the appropriate client for you. So on every single first encounter, I know that I'm going to have a consistent communication process. I'm going to ask the exact same qualifying questions to every single client. I'm going to give them consistent answers to common questions. And then I'm also going to make sure that we cover the same information. So we're going to talk about, I'm going to talk about pricing in the same way. I'm going to talk about important policy pieces in the same way. We're going to go through all of that with every single client so that I know as we progress through that the experience is consistent. I think that having the time to think about what are some of the common questions that come in, like we know automatically they're going to ask, what are your pricing? What's your availability and what's included in your pricing? And knowing how you want to talk about that, having some pre-written responses that you have kind of vetted to yourself as being successful responses that you can change up as you want, but kind of having those ready to go is huge. I know Kim talks about automation and how important that is. And I do automate some things in my business, but I've also found that for me, a way that I automate that might be a good stepping stone for other photographers is having pre-written responses, having those pre-written emails that when someone reaches out, I can go in and grab that, edit it, and send it, or go in, grab that so that I'm ready to ask those questions on our phone call. I think that, like Kim was talking about, the idea of talking about money can be a big hangup as part of the inquiry process. You know, it's interesting because for me, when I first started, that was a big thing. I was scared to talk about like my pricing. I was scared to talk about what was included in my packages if it wasn't going to be consistent with what other people were doing. But I realized really quickly that when I was honest with people and just gave them the information and we talked through that information, the people that weren't a fit for me would move on and the people that were a fit for me would then move forward through my process. I had a mentee that I was working with recently and he was telling me about a client that he was working with and he was talking about how, you know, his normal process would be to have a creative consult and then he would ask them for his session retainer. And that was something he had planned to do with every client that came through. But he knew with this client that they were wealthy, they were a wealthier family. He knew their background. He knew that they could afford his pricing for whatever his packages were. And so he had in the moment was thinking that he would not asked them to pay his retainer. And he was thinking, well, it's just such a small amount for them. It still seems silly to ask for that at this stage. And I mean, they're going to have a big order and this and that. And I, you know, I totally was like, yes, I agree with you. They're probably going to be a great order. I'm really excited for you. However, how do you expect that client to tell their friends and tell their family and tell their acquaintances, the other horse people in their lives, about what it's like to work with you if they can't adequately talk about what your process is like? So you need to have them go through your process to have your full experience in order to be able to also go out in the world and speak about you and talk about you and to ensure that their experience is consistent. And I think sometimes that I've gotten myself into trouble with this. So I will say to myself, oh, this is someone who's modeled for me, you know, four or five times before, and now they've officially booked me for a session. We've moved past projects that I've needed them for, and now they've hired me for, maybe they hired me for an equestrian maternity session. And I think to myself, well, I don't need to go through the whole process. They already know what it's like to work for me or work with me. I'm comfortable with them, so I don't need to establish a relationship and that sort of thing. What I've learned though over time, as those people that have worked with you a lot or those people who have hired you, they need to be able to talk about you and tell their friends and family what that process is like. And if you don't let them have that experience and go through that process, how do they do that? Like, how do they go out into the world and cheerlead for you when they can't adequately and appropriately tell people the experience? So in the case of my mentee, if he didn't charge this person the retainer and go through the process, but then he did it for someone that was referred to him by them and they got a different experience, that to me looks poorly upon his brand, because each client that's coming through, one's being charged something, one's not being charged something, one's getting a creative consultation where they're getting a full experience, another person is having a photographer show up at a session. I don't know if I'm making sense with that, but I think that's the key, is that consistency is huge.
Yeah.
And the experience that comes from that consistency is going to further refine how people get to know you.
Makes perfect sense.
I get myself there too, you know, where I'm like, oh, I know this person, you know, but then I have to remember there's a bigger reason behind why I create my processes.
Sure. We all do it.
Yeah. You get into those relationships. So I think those are the big things that I wanted to cover. The initial inquiry, the piece around qualifying is really huge. I mean, as an in-person sales photographer, basically what that means is I meet with people one-on-one. We create high-end wall art from their images. And that usually comes with a higher end game in terms of what I will make from that client. So my average sale per client. So what happens with that is, like, you know, Kim and I and Phyllis, we've talked about this before. If you're going to buy something that's a low price item, you might just swipe your credit card and do that. But if you're making a bigger investment, you're going to need more information and you're going to need to have some relationship building, or you're going to need to do some research and really know that that's a right fit for you. For me, the importance of going through that consistent process of answering questions and asking my clients questions to ensure that they're the right fit for me is really important, so that when I get to that place where we're sitting down together and we're designing wall art and they're looking at their final invoice, there's not shock value there. There's not a rub or a resistance or a moment of like, oh my goodness, I didn't know your pricing was so expensive, because every single step of my process is designed to prepare my clients for the process, for the photography, for the end game.
I think you do an excellent job of that too, Kara, because I think letting them and preparing them to understand that what they're getting is a one-of-a-kind piece of art. It's not something they can go to Walmart. They're not going to buy it and see it on somebody else's wall. It's going to be on their wall. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the thing. And I think every photographer out there offers, their process is going to be a little different. The way that they want to work with their clients is going to be different. And there's not a right or wrong way. If you're a photographer that you don't want to meet your clients in person until the day of your shoot, that's okay. That's your process. But I would just tell people, be consistent. Find out what works for you. I have created a business that means that I have a lot of touch points with my clients, whereas other photographers would rather work with more people and have less touch points. That's okay. But the key is that consistency is huge, and creating a process that starts with the inquiry and works your client through that, I think is just really key. It's got to be something that works for you. I don't know. I feel like I covered a lot there, and it could be a whole session on its own, whole podcast on its own.
Yeah. You could definitely do a whole episode or a whole series of episodes about that, for sure. Yeah,
we really could. But I hope that what people got from that piece of it is, with equestrian portrait clients, just being prepared, knowing how you want each person to go through, having your questions ready, knowing the information you need from them, and being prepared to answer those common questions consistently is the big piece of that.
Yep.
Now, Phyllis, I know you get different kinds of inquiries. Did you want to talk about that?
I still get the same kind you get, but I don't do that anymore, hardly, except for, I mean, on a very rare occasion. And when I do, I handle them a little differently. But I think the biggest thing is that I always respond quickly. But yeah, my business model has gone in a little different direction, and I'm doing more of the fine art and or dealing with hopefully getting published, my inquiries are going to be coming from editors, publishers, possibly brands. And a lot of times they're coming to me through my Instagram account or email. And some very rarely do they come from Facebook. It's mostly either email or Instagram. And that's one of the perks, whether it's Facebook or Instagram or however your Pinterest or LinkedIn is having a really active social media presence. I would say never discount that because it can be a potential financial resource for you to build relationships with new clients. And that's whether you're talking about getting published or working with clients like Kara does, or even Kim. Like, it doesn't matter who you're working with. I mean, I think having an active social media presence is really helpful in forming new relationships or even helping to retain your old ones. For me, like, be sure to use your hashtags and keywords on these platforms. Tag companies and magazines. Editors use Google and Pinterest and Instagram to search for what they're looking for, just like we do. Hey, always, and it doesn't matter what you're doing, always respond in a timely, professional manner. In general, I think that most publisher magazines or editors won't come to you. They have, and they do. But I think first off, you need to work to foster a relationship. So that's key is in any kind of business, as you want to foster a relationship with the people that you'd like to do business with. So, and regards to magazines, number one, I think research is the number one thing that will improve your chances of getting published. Research your target publication, find their submission guidelines and their requirements, subscribe to their magazine, purchase their magazines, read them from cover to cover. Who is their audience? What kind of articles are they publishing? Pay attention to their advertisers too. There's several ways you can get published once you've done your research. Reach out to submit unsolicited images to the publication. Answer a call for image submission. Even blogs. Think about blogs. A lot of them are looking for submissions too, or magazines. Sometimes they'll notice your work online and they'll contact you. Another photographer may recommend you for, so don't discount networking and fellowshipping and connecting with other photographers and freelancers too. Also, submitting your images to a photo contest. That's how I have gotten published in the past, as I submitted work to a photo contest and then they ended up using my work, or they bought images, Cowboys and Indians bought images from me for a bear safety article years ago. The biggest thing is when you do get contacted by them is send only your very best work. Introduce yourself with your work. Be sure to send them a short bio and let them kind of get to know you. Shoot. And you can also, if you're really wanting to get published, be sure you're going out and shooting what that publication needs or the people that you're looking to have your images published in. If you don't know what they need, ask them. Sometimes they have a particular article coming up that they may not have images for. Don't overlook smaller local and regional publications too. Don't just go for the big ones. They may not pay as well, and sometimes they may pay better. It's hard to say. I would say join related groups, attend conferences. AHP, American Horse Publications, is a big one. I forgot to mention I am going to AHP in Kentucky in May, so anybody's going to be there, look me up. Talk to other freelancers. I think Freelance Bermuda, Kate and Abigail with Freelance Bermuda are a huge resource to help form partnerships. You can form partnerships with freelance writers and you can write your own pieces. Getting published, it's not going to happen overnight. Well, not consistently, at least. Build a very strong, versatile portfolio with awesome images and get out and align yourself with prospective publications and buyers. The only other thing that I get contacted a lot for is people want to purchase art. I do usually just respond quickly and include a link to purchase, and I'll look out. I'll also give them a discount code depending on who the purchaser is. If it's a repeat publisher, I do have some that actually like to collect my work. I know that seems odd, but but they do. And so I will normally give them a discount code of some kind. But I would say the biggest thing is always follow up, especially even after the sale, after you've done business with people or publishers. Follow up, send them a thank you note to whoever you've done business with, and add that you look forward to working with them again in the future. That's it.
Phyllis, I was going to ask Kim too, what about inquiries for things like, because I get these sometimes, for art reference? inquiries for book covers. I'll get inquiries from smaller publications, like maybe not larger publications, and they're wanting to use the image for a calendar or for, you know, like, do you have a consistent way that you respond to those? It doesn't have to be your answer, but like, do you have a pre-written something that you use? Do you have like go-to contracts? What do you do to prepare for some of that?
In general, I don't do the reference thing anymore. I do have a couple of painters that I have worked with in the past, and I will continue to work with them. But like you guys, I get tons of people wanting to know if they can draw or they can paint, and you know, they can use my work as reference. And in general, I do tell them that thank you for the inquiry, but that most of my work is either licensed by my publisher or is private client work. And I do ask that it not be copied or reproduced in any way. And I tell them that I appreciate the courtesy of asking, because a lot of people don't even ask, they just do it. That's how I handle that particular one. I'll let Kim handle the others.
So I don't do reference art either, mostly because I use my own photography for my own reference art. And I also have this little weird sticky wicket on the fact that I think photography is art. So I typically do not approve any kind of those. And I just have a standard thing. This is, I just don't do that. I do get asked to do portraits. And what I do, because I don't do that any longer, like Phyllis, I don't do it. I find another photographer and refer them. If you don't do it, it's perfectly okay to refer somebody to another photographer who does. Earlier in my career, I think I felt pressured to always be the photographer. Like if they called me, I felt like I had to fulfill whatever they were asking, even if it wasn't necessarily something I wanted to do. Can I shoot equestrian portraits? Absolutely. Do I enjoy it when we're on our workshops? Yes, I do. Do I want to do it when I'm at home? No, I don't. In typical, I just refer them to someone else who, that's what they do. So that's okay to do as well.
That's exactly the way I handle it too. I have two photographers that I refer things to here local.
So I think that's a really important piece. Like inquiries as photographers, we're going to get inquiries for a lot of different things. And it could be anything from portraits, equine equestrian portraits, but it can also be, I mean, I get inquiries for family reunions and birthday parties. And you would think, as much work as I've done to create a brand that is horse focused, it is equestrian focused, I wouldn't still get those, but I still get them. And I'm sure you guys do too. I'll get inquiries from people who want me to bring my horse out to the beach so that they could celebrate their 40th birthday on a rearing horse on the beach at sunrise. I mean, it's like the most random stuff. But the key is that it's like, you know, all these are coming in. You know, you're going to be getting inquiries now. As photographers, we need to know how we want to respond to each of them. So when you get that request for someone who wants to use your work for free in a calendar they're going to sell, or for somebody who wants to use your photo as an image reference for a painting, or someone who needs an image for a book cover, or somebody that is looking, they have an overseas magazine and they want to use it for a newsletter. It could be any of those things. You're going to get requests for that stuff. Being able to think ahead and figure out how you want to respond to those things, either putting in some automation, like Kim said, or pre-writing some emails. If you write a good email to a new type of request or inquiry, save it somewhere. Put it in a Word document or put it in your CRM so that the next time you get that inquiry, because you will, you can grab it and you save yourself time. Because I don't know about the two of you, but I will spend a lot of time every day. I sit down and I open that inbox, and it could be my social media inbox or my email inbox, and there's a list of inquiries in there about stuff. And some of it is pertinent to what I want to do as a photographer and what my goals are. And some of it is out in left field, and I just need a way to appropriately, as a business owner, without writing it off as a nothing burger and not being a professional business owner, I need to be able to respond to that. And so I think that's the big thing about this, is you're going to have a ton of inquiries, and are you prepared to handle them?
We hope you have a ton of inquiries anyway. It's fun to have a ton of inquiries and keep getting asked. You know, Phyllis talked a little bit about like, how do you get inquiries? Another way you can get inquiries for your business is to be a member of Equine Photographers Network. That's a place I've actually gotten two inquiries, both of them for portrait sessions, unfortunately, within the last like 2 weeks from EPNet. So that's another perk when you're a professional member with them, is that they will send you, people can fill out a form and send it back. And another place that you can get inquiries and referrals to is through PPA. So I've gotten them through them as well. So you can create a listing and put your information in, and that's a directory that's a publicly facing and available. If you're putting your shingle out there and saying, hey, I do this, put your name up in places to be able to get those inquiries, and posters at horse clubs, and get in their directory listings and all of the above.
We should do an episode on specifically on this topic, but I would say, Kim, along those same lines, I have referred people to EPNet. Like, I will go on the Equine Photographers Network site when I get like requests out of that I don't want to do, yeah, or that I can't do, or that are in a location I can't travel to. And I will use the Equine Photographers Network website to find a photographer that is a member that I can then connect them with. So
absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Get yourself on those lists.
That's one of the, you know, grow that business and put yourself out there, and it's okay. And it's okay if it's scary. I want to say that too. It's okay if it's scary, and you're not going to run people off if you stumble around the first few times you try to have one of these conversations. We all did, even myself, who I try not to do that anymore, but I definitely have stumbled around in conversations when people have asked me questions that I wasn't quite prepared for. You get better. It gets better. Just, it gets better. All right. Anything else we need to do to wrap this episode up? I think we've had a fun episode here with a ton of ideas and different techniques for different types of businesses in handling those inquiries. Kara, do you have anything else you want to add, or do you want to send us out?
I just want to add that you can find us online at cowgirlswithcameras.com. There are lots of ways you can join us out in the world. We have all sorts of great events coming up. We'd love to see you. Also, if you're on social media, you can find us at Cowgirls with Cameras on Instagram and Facebook. And we'd love to hear what you think about the podcast. We've had some really great conversations over there about podcast topics. We are always looking for new things to talk about on the show that you guys would find interesting.
That was a great episode, you guys. And be sure to leave us a review anywhere you listen to your podcasts.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Cowgirls with Cameras. Don't let the laughter and learning stop here. Join our community on social media and be sure to visit our website for more opportunities to fulfill your photography goals. Head to cowgirlswithcameras.com. That's cowgirlswithcameras.com. See you next time.